Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Princess Nutter Butter learns to share by Karen Nixitch is based off real events. William, Karen's son, rescued Mrs. Nutter Butter when he was attending undergraduate school to become a social worker. He quickly discovered how lonely Mrs. Nutter Butter was when he wasn't home. William liked to rescue guinea pigs that needed a new home. In fact, a small cage turned into a very large condo, rescuing Coco, S&P, and Little One. William, now in graduate school, the guinea pigs help him relax after getting off work. Karen was a teacher for almost 35 years, has her Master's of Education and a gifted and talented endorsement. Karen grew up in upstate New York, currently living in Richland, Washington, with her husband John, son William, daughter Rachel, and their two dogs, Maddie and Gus. During Karen's spare time, she volunteers for Love on a Leash with Maddie, a certified therapy dog, and is a wishing conductor for Wishing Star Foundation. Karen's favorite activity is watching the different variety of birds that visit the bird feeder in her backyard. This is her seventh book. In 2019, Karen won a bronze medal for the Living Now Award for Earth Angels, a documentary about specially abled children. She also came in second place in the 2019 Royal Dragonfly Book Award for The Magical Journey of Bob Crane. Karen Nixitch, author of Princess Butterball Learns to Share, is our guest on This Week in America. Karen, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to talk to you.
Looking forward to our discussion of the book, I Love Princess Nutter Butter, Learns to Share. We'll give you information on where the book's available throughout the course of the program. I give you a little bit of background there. Tell me where this inspiration came, where you decided this is a cute story and I'd like to write a book about it.
Well, my son is a social worker and he's going to graduate school right now to do play therapy with children. And as a teacher, I thought it would be fun for him to have a basket of books in his office for children to look at. And in his office currently, he has all the photographs of Nutter Butter and S&P and Coco. So I thought it would be a nice tie-in if a child came to his office and wanted to talk more about guinea pigs because they're all over his office. And that was my inspiration, was to gift him a book about his guinea pigs.
And who knows, people all around the world would be reading the book, Princess Nutter Butter Learns to Share, learning lessons from it. We'll talk during the program about some of the themes that recur in the books that you've written. I mentioned the background, a very impressive background in teaching and helping young people. When did you decide to become a writer? Because you're an award-winning writer as well. When did that interest begin for you?
I did a lot of service learning grants when I was teaching, and I taught all of my students how to do service learning grants. And for me, it was more the process of watching children actually do these projects and reflect on their project. And I was able to incorporate all the curriculum into these projects. And then when we moved to Washington, it was difficult to find a job, and I decided I would use my transferable skills as a teacher and decide to teach in a different way. So that's how I learned how to, it was a lot of learning lessons for me to become a writer. It didn't happen overnight. I thought I knew all the tricks of teaching. And when you go into writing, it's a whole new world of things that you have to learn about writing.
Yeah, and it's more than just the writing, isn't it? It's getting published and it's getting the right message out there. And we'll talk about that during the program. Karen Nixitch is our guest on the program. If you're Googling, that's N-I-C-K-S-I-C-H. Her website is pet-angelreader.com. It's an excellent website. Books also available at Amazon, all of the usual places. So you've taken all of this knowledge, all of this skill in working with young people, transferred that to your writing. Where do you get some of the inspiration for your books? I mentioned this is the seventh one that you've written. Where do you get the inspiration, the stories from?
This may sound silly, but I get signs. If I see something more than once, it's a sign I'm supposed to write a book about it. And so The Magical Journey of Bob Crane is an actual story of a sandhill crane, because we have a a huge Sandhill Crane Festival in Othello every year, and that's about 30 minutes from our house. And about 60,000 cranes fly through. They land in this aviary and rest there for 3 days, and then they continue their journey migrating. And we had one wayward Sandhill Crane who decided not to land in the aviary, but land on our street. And every single morning when I looked out the window, I'd see him walking up and down the sidewalk in front of our house. And he was kind of like a sentry. And I thought, well, this is funny that he's really here. He shouldn't be here. He was by himself. And so I thought, well, this, he won't be here tomorrow. He'll fly away with the other birds. And then the next morning I got up, still there. And so it became a running joke. Everybody was watching the Sandhill Crane walking up and down our street, so I decided to call him Bob. And when I sent the manuscript to my editor, she renamed him Robert. And I said, well, kids aren't going to like Robert Crane. They're going to like Bob Crane because it sounds funnier.
Yes.
And so it's all about paying it forward with that particular story. Because all the birds in this aviary sanctuary, you know, they give up the space, their habitat for all these thousands of cranes that come to rest for 3 days. And so in that book, Bob pays it forward by granting wishes for some of the birds there and creating these coins that birds can pick up. And if they pick up these coins, what they're really wishing for happens. And so that's his way of paying it forward, to say thank you for letting all the cranes come and stay there for a few days.
Well, that was a great story, that intuition of a teacher kicking in, picking the story, and realizing Robert just isn't going to cut it. Bob is much better, and the kids were able to relate to that. That was an award-winning book, of which you've had several. I hate to put you on the spot and ask you the favorite book, but is there one out of the seven that maybe means a little bit more to you, and why?
That would be Earth Angels, a documentary of specially abled children.
Oh, yes.
And it's about my daughter, Rachel. She was born with ectodermal dysplasia when we were living in Salt Lake and I was teaching there. And at the time, no one knew what her... They knew when she was born she had a disorder, but it took the geneticist 3 years to identify it. And the whole time she grew up, she had numerous cranial facial surgeries. And she kept saying, could you please write a book about me? And at the time, she was so little, she didn't understand. I was teaching full time, and I was helping our son. He had dyslexia after school, or I was in the hospital with her. And I kept saying, one day, I will write a book about you, but right now I just don't have time. And when we moved up here and I couldn't find a teaching job, I thought, well, now is the time to write a book about her, because she's 28 now and she's very much an advocate for anybody with that's specially abled. I don't like the word disabled.
Yes.
And so I worked with Juan Miguel Juarez. He's a director of social work, and I worked with two of his students that were going into social work and did their practicum with me. And we interviewed 9 different families that had specially abled children. Rachel was one. And we wanted to learn more about challenges the family faced and what they've learned from their children. And across the board, none of the parents knew. They all got the same 10 questions. They all got interviewed at different times, didn't know their emails or addresses. But every single parent said, when I asked them, if you could describe your child in one word, what would it be? Almost every single parent said, unconditional love or joy, which really surprised me, because, you know, that's what Rachel brings into the world is unconditional love to everyone. She doesn't care who they are. You know, she just sees people as people. And that was a general theme that ran through that book. And we kind of explained the challenges that we face as parents and what we would hope other parents would learn from us. Because a lot of the children get stared at and it hurts their feelings. And the children, parents don't know what to do about it. And so a lot of the parents just simply said, please just come up and talk to me. You know, don't be afraid. And I'll tell you a little bit about my child. And, you know, it's special to me because so many people in the community came forward to help. We had an award-winning photographer that took 1,500 photographs free of charge. Amazing. For this book and told me to pick the best of the 1,500 photographs for the books, and they were all beautiful. And then the community came forward to help me publish the book by giving me small donations, and then it got published on Valentine's Day. And that was just, I thought that was a beautiful way to celebrate these children by having a book come out on a day of love.
I can see why that is so special to you. And it's Earth Angels, and you'll find all of Karen's books at her website, which is pet-angelreader.com. We'll have that link up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You'll find information available at Amazon as well. Talk a little bit about the process you go through in writing a book. You get these stories that are sort of like messages that come to you. It's like, okay, this is something I need to deal with here. I've got this bird that I'm seeing. I'm going to have to write a book about it. What process do you follow in writing your books?
Well, usually, you know, it comes to me. All these things come to me through signs. I know that's hard to believe, but I was at a farmer's market, and on Facebook, I saw a picture of a mermaid, and they said, write a story about a mermaid, and you could be published. And I thought, oh, boy, that sounds like fun. And I thought it would be a challenge to me because I've never written a book that's 1,000 words or less. And for a children's book, it has to be 1,000 words or less. So I thought, okay, I'll think about this. You know, I don't live in Hawaii, but my friend does. And then I went to a farmer's market, and all of a sudden I saw a lady making jewelry with sea glass and copper, and they were called mermaid necklaces. And I thought, oh, that's funny. A woman that's making mermaid necklaces after I just saw mermaid, write a story about a mermaid. And then I went to an art fair in our city, and there was this wonderful woman who was Asian that were painting the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen. I thought, ooh, I wonder if she would consider making mermaids. And she said, I was a teacher in Japan for so many years. I thought, well, isn't that funny? I'm a teacher too. And she said, I would love to do this. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting 15 illustrations of mermaids that kind of started to tell a story to me, and I created the story around her illustrations. And that one won an award as well for environmental issues, because my best friend that we taught with for 20 years, when she moved to Hawaii, she's a director of a school where all the children go to the beach and they clean the beach every morning before school starts. And I thought that would be a nice way to tie it into a mermaid. This mermaid goes to school in the ocean, and they learn the importance of keeping the ocean clean, so they clean up the ocean. And then when the mermaid pops out of the water, she sees children cleaning up the beach after people have left things out there. And so that one won an award for best environmental story for children.
It's amazing where you get the ideas, and they sort of do jump out at you because you're aware. You're like, every time something happens, it's like, okay, this is for a reason. Is there a possible book here? And the nice thing about all your books, award-winning books, is you will take themes that are important, do it in an entertaining way, and really expose these thoughts, these ideas, these concepts to children. You mentioned before the difficulty in writing books. You've got the skill set for a teacher. Now you're going to be a writer. What are some of the most difficult parts, the hardest part of writing for you, do you think?
Probably for me, editing.
Oh, yes.
Because my very first book I wrote, I loved. And, you know, my husband said, this is a really long book. You know, you could really condense it. He's a writer for a national laboratory here. I thought, no, I don't want to take anything out.
I don't blame you.
And so I felt I like it too much. And so I sent it to an editor for Scholastic, I believe. And I said, could you please edit this book? And, you know, she took out a significant part of the book, but when I got it back, it read 100% better. And, you know, you just have to be aware that it may be a good book, but it could be a much better book if you let somebody else read through what you think is fantastic and take out the stuff that's really not necessary to make it read better.
That's
and
so
that
difficult.
Was one for me.
I would think that would be so difficult. I mean, this is something you created and you're going back and you're taking something out of there that you thought at one time was important. And I know everybody has to do that, but I understand exactly what you're talking about, the dilemma in going back and trying to determine, okay, I need to eliminate something. What can I eliminate here? Karen Niksich is our guest in the program, N-I-C-K-S-I-C-H. And the book is the one we're talking about, but this is one of seven, Princess Nutter Butter Learns to Share, award-winning books. Her website is pet-angelreader.com. Books available as well at Amazon. A few minutes left in the program. What's been the best part, do you think, for writing children's books? What do you enjoy the most about this process?
I love the way they come together, because I didn't realize as a teacher there were so many different components to writing a book. And my first two books I self-published with a self-publishing company, but I wasn't happy with the results. And so I just took things into my own hands, and I found an editor that I liked. I found a designer, and really that's what makes the book, is how it's designed, which I never realized. A designer that I loved, and I found, let's see, the editor. And then I would find illustrators that really captured what I wanted, the essence of what I wanted in the book. And for Earth Angels, it was a photography, because I wanted people to actually see these children. But all the other ones, you know, I really had a specific, with Bob Crane, I met a woman that all she did was birds. And that was it, an art fair. And, you know, I think that's so important as a writer, that you find just the illustrator that you want that works well with you, the editor that works well with you, and the designer that works well with you. And the one with Bob Crane won for best design in a book. And that was one of the biggest aha moments for me, is when you turn a book in or a manuscript in, that's the first thing they look at, is the design of the book. If they like it, then they may read the manuscript. If they don't like it, they throw it in the garbage. And I am so grateful for the past 7 years. Every year I learn something new and better that make my books a little bit better.
Well, it's interesting, because you see that so often, and you look at a book cover and you're thinking, boy, this was almost an afterthought. And to me, your book cover is your elevator pitch. That's your business card. If you capture the attention, you've got an opportunity to share your message with them. If it's lost because they really don't understand what you're trying to accomplish, or it's too busy or whatever, you've lost that opportunity. A minute or so left in the program. Boy, it's gone by way too quickly. So many themes for children that Karen develops in her award-winning books. And you've got a new project. I mentioned Maddie, that you've written about, a certified therapy dog. Tell me briefly about Gus. Here's a dog you adopted. The vet wasn't even sure he was going to be able to live. And now you're thriving with him. He's thriving with you, I guess. Yes. You're both thriving on each other.
He is such a funny dog, and so willing to love and to learn. And if, with Love on a Leash, there are certain keywords like leave it or check it out if they get scared. He was scared of everything. And because of COVID-19, you know, every single day, I can't do Love on a Leash, but it's a perfect way to train Gus, because he goes on 3 walks a day. And, you know, the flagpole in front of the school scared him, and the grates in the where the wire ran under scared him. And all I did is say, check it out, you know, it's no big deal, and kept walking. And now he's so proud when he walks by the grates that he's not scared of them, or the flagpole by the school. That doesn't scare him anymore. And he can walk on a loose lead, And when we rescued him, he had never been on a leash, and he could run like 80 miles an hour. And we were terrified because the first day we had him, he just bolted from our house, and it took us 45 minutes to get him with FedEx trucks coming down our street and school buses.
Oh, yes. That'd be frightening.
You know, he's just a wonderful dog. I don't know if he'll be a therapy dog. I think he'll be a search and rescue dog because he can run so fast and he follows a scent. And so I think that's why God brought him into our life.
Yeah, things happen for a reason, it seems like, especially in your life. That's such a remarkable story, and I wanted to touch on that. That's one of the themes in Karen's books, the importance of rescuing a cat, dog, hamster, guinea pig, whatever, the adopting a new pet, and the loss of a pet, which is part of owning a pet, is we will lose them. And it's difficult for adults, certainly for children, to go through that. The current book we're talking about from Karen is Princess Nutter Butter Learns to Share. That's one of 7 award-winning books. The author is Karen Nikcich. That's Nikcich. Her website is pet-angelreader.com. Books available at Amazon. Information on all of the books at our websites. You go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on to get information on all of Karen's activities. Karen, a pleasure having you on the program. Good luck with Gus. I think you're going to enjoy the time with him, especially when you can get out outside and spend more time outside when we get all of this over with. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and have a wonderful day.
You as well. Karen Nikcich, our guest on the program. Princess Nutter Butter Learns to Share. Book available at our website, pet-angelreader.com. And of course, you'll find all that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.